Glory to God. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for faith in Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. I'm so excited about the gospel. I'm excited about what God is doing in the lives of men and women across the globe. I'm excited about what God is doing, such a great awakening in the body of Christ across the globe, across the nation. Men coming into the knowledge of what Jesus has done and accomplished. Men beginning to see the efficacy and the potency of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Men are beginning to see the efficacy of the work of redemption. It's such a great time to be alive. Glory to God. The eyes of men are being enlightened. Men are beginning to esteem the word of God above the words of men. This is such a great time to be alive. Glory be to God. Welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus podcast. It's been a powerful time. It's been a great time. Every day waking up to the word of God. And this is the 100th episode. Hallelujah. Of Every Day with Jesus podcast. 100 episodes. Hallelujah. It's been over 3 months of dispensing the word of God on this platform. I want to encourage you to continue to persevere, to stay, to remain committed and devoted to receiving the word of God via this medium. Our lives should not remain the same again. Glory to God. And we're trusting God powerfully that we're going to be here for many more decades, many more years, preaching the word of faith and power. We're going to have 1,000 episodes, 2,000 episodes, 3,000, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, and on and on. Hallelujah. Faithfully dispensing the truth of the word of God. That means we're going to pass this good work across down to posterity to carry on the good work till Jesus comes. We're also trusting God to put this work on some of our local stations, local radio stations, so we can be a blessing to many more lives and many more souls across the nation. Glory to God. So Every Day with Jesus, this is the 100th episode. And then we'll be considering forgiveness of sins. We've been looking at what the Bible has to say concerning forgiveness of sins. And then more recently, we've been studying concerning confession of sins. What does it mean to confess our sins? We've seen all through scriptures the meaning, what it means to confess and to admit our sins. Glory to God. How we got saved by confessing our sins. What exactly did we do? We've walked through this and we've seen this in the Bible clearly. Glory to God. And then yesterday, we saw that one of the reasons why people keep confessing their sins on a daily basis and pleading for forgiveness and begging God for forgiveness is because of the idea that when a believer falls into sin, his relationship with God is intact, but his fellowship is broken. And then yesterday, we've been able to see that the word relationship does not even exist in the New Testament as a word used to qualify what we have come to share with the Father and with the Son. The word fellowship is the biblical word. And we've also seen through scriptures that this fellowship is something we have by the Spirit of God. That is, the man that is indwelt by the Holy Ghost is the man that is said to be in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. That fellowship is by the Spirit. It is not based on activities. We are not in fellowship because we pray. We are not in fellowship because we sing spiritual songs. We are not in fellowship because we evangelize. We are not in fellowship because we are zealous. We do all those things because we are in fellowship with the Father. Those activities are an offshoot of our fellowship with the Father, not the other way around. We don't do those things to be in fellowship. We do those things because we are in fellowship. Because fellowship is a state. That's the word koinonia in the Greek. That's the word koinonia. It speaks of having a sharing, a participation with God. A man has come into union. We have come to participate in the divine life. Glory to God. So fellowship is not broken as long as the man is indwelt by the Spirit of God. To say that the believer is out of fellowship with the Father because he falls into sin is to say that the Spirit of God departs when the believer falls into sin. And we know there's no such thing from scriptures. John 14:16, I'll give you another helper who would abide with you forever. The Holy Ghost is here to stay forever. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:13-14 is the seal unto the day of redemption. Is the seal until the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30 is the seal until the day of redemption. So the Holy Ghost never departs. That means that the believer is in fellowship with the Father till the end of time. It's an eternal fellowship. Glory to God. Now there's a particular scripture people use in the Old Testament, from the Old Testament rather, to insist that believers need to always plead for mercy. They always need to plead for God to, you know, have mercy on them and to pardon and to forgive them and to let go and then to stop hiding his face from them whenever they fall into sin. Now, this scripture is found at Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 3. We're going to read it. And then, let's just do that right away. Let's read it. And then, I'll say a few things before I explain this particular portion of the Bible. Isaiah 59, glory to God. Isaiah 59, I'll read from verse 1 to 3. Bible says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity." So have you seen? He says, your sins have separated you, and he has hidden his face from you. Hallelujah. Now, one of the fatal things to do with the Old Testament is to carry over into the New Testament everything that is said in the Old Testament. Hook, line, and sinker. You just carry everything, import them into the New Testament, and begin to apply it to the saints. It's a very fatal thing. Do you know why? Not everything in the Old Testament is written concerning believers. Not everything in the Old Testament is written concerning the church of Jesus. Not everything written in the Old Testament is written concerning the new creation. Not everything in the Old Testament is written concerning those who have faith in Christ Jesus, all one and the same. There are things written in the Old Testament specifically about those who lived under that covenant. Praise God. Such that the idea of just picking things from the Old Testament and applying it to the church is erroneous. Not everything in the Old Testament applies to the Christian. Isn't that the fatal way some have applied the curses of Deuteronomy 28 to every believer in Christ today? Curses. Hallelujah. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all the commandments which I command you today that the Lord will set before you, set you above all the nations and all that, if you obey, blessed are you. If you do, now if you disobey, you are cursed. Whereas Bible says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, as it is written, "Cursed is every man that hangs on a tree," verse 14, "that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the blessing of the Spirit." So you see that we have been delivered from the curses of the law. We have not been called to inherit curses, but to inherit a blessing. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." We have not been called to inherit curses. We've been called to inherit blessings. Hallelujah. And you see, the blessing of Abraham is without conditions. There are no buts or ifs. If you don't obey, you'll be cursed. There's no curse in the blessing of Abraham. Just blessings. Hallelujah. "Surely I will bless you. Surely I will multiply you." That was the tone of that covenant. Glory to Jesus. So Ephesians 1 says we've been called to inherit every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, Bible says, "Not returning evil for evil, nor reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." Hallelujah. But some have taken all the curses of the Old Testament and have brought it into the New Testament. What about Malachi chapter 3? The curses of tithing. Hallelujah. If you don't diligently pay your tithes, devourers will come into your house and devour your finances and all that. This is illiteracy, biblical illiteracy. Because in Christ Jesus, we've been delivered from curses. Hallelujah. But the reason why people apply all those things to believers today is because they are unaware of the fact that not everything in the Old Testament is speaking to the believer. Not everything in the Old Testament is descriptive of the church. It is not everything in the Old Testament that speaks to the new creation. Praise God. So you must know how to read the prophets. And this is a simple lesson this morning. Then we'll explain Isaiah 59 and move on from there. A simple lesson. You must know how to explain the prophet. You must know how to read the prophet to your advantage. You must know how to profit doctrinally from the book of the prophet. Otherwise, you are going to be reading the prophets to your peril. Praise God. So let's see how to read the prophets. 1 Peter chapter 1. Glory to Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 10. Bible says, "Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Have you seen that there were things they were ministering to us? There were things that were revealed to them for us. Hallelujah. What are those things? They prophesied of the grace that would come to us, as they testified of the sufferings of Christ and the glories that will follow. Hallelujah. Bible says these are things that have been reported to us through those who preach the gospel. So the things that the prophets minister to us are things found in the gospel, are things reported to us via the gospel of Christ, are things that pertain to Jesus' death and resurrection, are things that pertain to the grace of God. Bible says they prophesied of the grace that will come to us. So that means there were things they were ministering to themselves. Hallelujah. You see all those curses, all those judgments, all those things they said, you know, apart from the message of grace and salvation, were not things written to us. There were things written to them. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. There were things addressed to them. Hallelujah. So that means when I read the prophets, I must be watching out for things that pertain to salvation. Things that have to do with the salvation that we have received in Christ Jesus. Things that pertain to the grace of God. Things that are products or an offshoot of Jesus' sacrifice, is redemption. That is what is addressed to me. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll read from verse 15. Those are the things addressed to us. So I can't just pick anything from the Old Testament and apply it to every believer today. That would be wrong and false. I must look out for the things that pertain to salvation. Those were the things that they ministered to us by the Spirit of Christ. Praise God. 2 Timothy, glory to Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 3 from verse 15. Praise God. Look at this now. Bible says, and that from a child you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So Timothy was exposed to the scriptures from his childhood to the end that he would understand the message of salvation. Hallelujah. He says, you've known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise for salvation. So when he says all scripture is given and is profitable for doctrine, what doctrine? The doctrine of salvation, the gospel. Hallelujah. Timothy wasn't looking out for many things. It was made wise unto salvation by the scriptures. And like I said yesterday, when Paul mentioned scriptures in this place, he was referring to the Old Testament, because most of the epistles of the New Testament were not even in circulation at this point in time. They were being written. Hallelujah. So the Old Testament books were referred to as the scriptures. They were the scriptures. And Paul says, the scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. Praise God. So this is how to read the prophets to your own advantage. It is to find out what the prophets have said concerning salvation in Christ Jesus, concerning faith in Christ. So when I read the prophets, I'm looking for things that pertain to the new covenant. Praise God. Not just everything said. Amen. So you don't start drinking Panadol for another man's headache. That's exactly what some believers are doing today. Everything in the Old Testament is for them. Even after painstakingly explaining to some how they ought to read the Old Testament, they will still insist stubbornly that everything in the Old Testament is written for them. It's written to them, rather. It's addressed to them. And they must practice everything. Yet, in their hypocrisy, they are not offering sacrifices for their sins. Praise God. They are not offering bulls, blood of goats and animals for your redemption. You are not obeying everything to the letter. Some of the ceremonial laws, you are not keeping them. It's not even some. Most of the ceremonial laws, you are not keeping them anymore. Some of the things you eat today were prohibited in the Old Testament. The reason why you are not obeying the Old Testament to the letter is because you know within you that everything in the Old Testament was not written to you for your practice. Hallelujah. So it's not everything you can just pick from the Old Testament and apply to your life. There's a problem if you do that. Because there are specific things written to us. The things ministered to us are ministered as by the Spirit of Christ concerning salvation, which is found in Him. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. So when I read the prophets, I'm looking for salvation. I'm looking for things pertaining to redemption. I'm looking for things concerning remission of sins in Christ Jesus. I'm looking for things concerning the indwelling spirit, the promise of the Holy Ghost. I'm looking for things concerning the blessing of righteousness by faith in Christ Jesus. That is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for things pertaining to the peace of God that is everlasting. I'm looking for things pertaining to eternal security. Those are things I'm looking for in the prophets. Not things written concerning somebody that was living under the Old Testament. Those are not addressed to me, because I know whatever the Bible says to somebody under the Old Testament will be contrary to what God is saying to me in Christ. Because the blessings of both testaments are contrary to one another. One is conditional, the other is unconditional. Hallelujah. What was said to them under the Old Testament was based on their obedience or disobedience. Deuteronomy 28 can be a case study. Their obedience was what brought the blessing. Their disobedience brought the curses. Funny enough, it was the curses that were guaranteed. It was the curses that were guaranteed because they could not completely fulfill the demands of the law. The blessings were not guaranteed. Hallelujah. But what God is saying to us in the new covenant is based on the obedience of Jesus, the obedience of Christ, the finished work of Christ. So I can't be living by the things said to them under the Old Testament. I must always look out for what is said concerning salvation alone, because that is what concerns me. Praise God. 2 Peter chapter 1, I'll read from verse 16. Bible says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So the Apostle Peter says, when we give heed to the scriptures, it is to the end that the day star rises in our hearts, or the morning star. The same thing, Luke 1:78, Bible refers to him as the day spring. The day spring, day star, or morning star is the person of Christ. It says, when we give it to the prophetic scriptures, it is so that the light of the glory of Christ, the light of Jesus, will shine in our hearts. Hallelujah. So when he says no prophecy is of any private interpretation, it means the man that does not see Jesus in the prophetic scriptures is the man that is privately interpreting the scriptures. That is, the man is giving the scriptures a different meaning than what God intends. Hallelujah. The way to interpret the scriptures is to see Jesus. The day star, the morning star must rise in your heart when you look through the prophetic scriptures. That is the essence of the Bible. This was exactly how Jesus used the scriptures. Luke 24, verse 27, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Have you seen? Jesus was pointing men to things concerning himself in the new covenant. Praise God. He wasn't referring to many things from the prophets, things concerning himself, things pertaining to salvation. Praise God. Look at verse 44. "Then he said to them, 'These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me.'" All things must be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Verse 45, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, 'Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem.'" Hallelujah. So that means the message the apostles took to the nations was that which Jesus has accomplished in his death and resurrection, that which he fulfilled in his death and resurrection. These were the things that they took to the nations. That is why their letters were explaining salvation. Hallelujah. Because this was what Jesus showed them from the scriptures. Jesus wasn't showing them stories, different kind of lessons from the life of Samson. And you know, many of the things people bother themselves about today, Jesus showed them things written in the scriptures concerning him. Hallelujah. These were the things they took to the nations. Praise God. That is why Paul at Romans chapter 16 verse 25, he says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all the nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Paul used the prophetic scriptures to teach the gospel. He says it wasn't made known to them in the Old Testament. Have you seen? So the things that were made known to them are the things that do not apply to us. The things that were not made known to them are the things that apply to us today. Praise God. Like Peter says, he says it was revealed to them that they were ministering to us those things. Things that pertain to Jesus' death and resurrection, the gospel of Christ, the grace of God, salvation. So the things that were not made known to them are the things that are made known to us in those books. The things that were made known to them in those books are the things that do not concern us today. Praise God. So I've not said you can't mention historical, you know, figures. You can't mention, you know, Abraham, Samson, and all those guys. But you need to pay attention to how they are mentioned in the ministry of Jesus and the apostles. There was a way they mentioned those guys. And that is exactly how to use them in your sermons. Praise God. So we can't be drawing everything from the Old Testament and applying it to the believer today, because there are specific things written and ministered to us by the Spirit of Christ in the Old Testament. And these are things that pertain to salvation. So let's go to Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 3. You see, I said all that to help you know how to make a distinction between the utterances of the prophets to the children of Israel and the utterances of the prophets to those of us who are in Christ today. Praise God. And then we're going to apply what we just saw to Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 3. So he says, the hands of the Lord are not too short to save, nor is his ear too heavy to hear. And then he says, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. Now, this cannot be to those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This was said to men who were yet in their sins, men who were yet to be saved. That is why he says, the hand of the Lord is not too short to save you. This cannot be said to those who have been saved, who have obtained this salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. This is about men who were yet to come into salvation. Glory be to God. And I've seen several pastors, leaders of churches, general overseers, bishops use this particular portion of scripture to torment believers. Hallelujah. Cry out to God, let him have mercy on you, because your iniquities have separated you. Your sins have made him hide his face from you and all that. See, if the sin of any believer makes God hide his face today, then God will hide his face from the GOs also and from the bishops. Because if God should mark iniquity, who shall stand? None of these men are perfect in themselves. The pastor is not a superstar amongst the saints. We are all blood washed. The same blood that Jesus shed for the least of the member in the church is the same blood that Jesus shed for the pastor. Hallelujah. The same sacrifice that Jesus offered for the least esteemed person in the church is the same sacrifice that Jesus offered for the general overseer and the bishop. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no special man in the sight of God. Bible says God does not show personal favoritism to any man. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 6. And I'll say it again. If God ever withdraws, or God is separated, or God hides his face from any of us at all, then God will hide his face from all of us, including the pastors. Praise God. Because where salvation is concerned, we are all the same in the sight of God. We all are equal in the sight of God. There is no special man of God. God didn't offer a better, a deeper, a greater sacrifice for anybody. It's the same sacrifice that catered for the sin of the whole world. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, Isaiah 59:1-3 is not referring to believers. It's referring to the unbelieving Jews, those who were in their sins. Praise God. Now, here's a second lesson in reading the prophet. Whenever God said something concerning their state of sin, unbelief, idolatry, and all that, God is about to say what he's going to do about their state. And that's the promise of the New Testament. God is about to say something. So it doesn't always end with their condition. It ends with a promise. Hallelujah. So if you read Isaiah 59 till the end, from verse 20, the Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord. Verse 21, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forever. Have you seen? There's a promise of the new covenant in the which transgressions will be turned away from those in Zion. Hallelujah. So it doesn't end with your iniquities have separated you and your sins have made him hide his face. It ends with a promise of what God is going to do concerning that condition. Praise God. And that promise is about the new covenant. See how Paul references this at Romans 11 verse 26 to 27. Bible says, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Have you seen? So this is about the new covenant. Praise God. So Isaiah 59 does not end with iniquities separating them from God and all that. That was their state then. But in Christ Jesus, sins have been taken away. Praise God. So it is sad to see people just bring Isaiah 59, 1 to 3 and apply to the believer today and be teaching that believers have been separated from God and God is hiding his face from men because of their sins. It is a sad case because Isaiah 59, 1 to 3 was not written about the believer in Christ Jesus. What is written about the believer in Christ Jesus is Isaiah 59, 20 to 21. Praise God. Let's see Ezekiel 37. So that means we can't be using Isaiah 59 to teach that fellowship is broken because a believer sins and God is hiding his face. That's not true. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 37 from verse 24. Bible says, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. This is about the new covenant too. One shepherd. They shall all also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Then they shall dwell in the land that I have given to Jacob, my servant, where your fathers dwelt. And they shall dwell there, they, their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I'll make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I'll establish them and multiply them, and I'll set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, sanctify Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. When he makes mention of covenant of peace and all that, you should realize that this is talking about the new covenant. Because he mentions Israel, does not mean he's referring to Israel alone. This pertains to the new covenant that extends to every man that is found in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Let me quickly show you how Paul explains this at Ephesians chapter 2. See how Paul explains it from Ephesians chapter 2 verse 11. He says, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called on circumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He says, once we were strangers to the covenant of promise. So the promises that were given to them as pertaining to the new covenant, covenant of peace, that which God was going to do in Christ Jesus, those promises, he says, we were strangers to those promises. But now in Christ Jesus, we have been brought into those covenants. Hallelujah. We've been brought near by the blood of Christ Jesus. So we have become a partaker of the promises in Christ Jesus with the Jews. Praise God. So we are no longer strangers and aliens. Glory be to God. So look at verse 14. He himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So Jews and Gentiles have become one in Christ. So when we read about the promises of God in the Old Testament as pertaining to Christ and the new covenant, we are no longer strangers to those promises. We can't say because it says house of Israel, house of Judah, we can't lay claim to them. He has made both one. Hallelujah. He has broken down the middle wall of partition, and now Jews and Gentiles have become one in Christ Jesus. We have all become partakers of the same promise. Glory to Jesus. Look at verse 16. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. What is the enmity? The enmity was the law. It was the law that created the distinction between Jews and Gentiles. Do you know it was the law that at some point forbade Jews from getting married to Gentiles? At some point, the law gave them the law of circumcision, and then it forbade them from associating with people who were not circumcised. Cast your mind back to the Acts of Apostles, in the ministry of the Apostles, when Peter withdrew from the Gentiles and stopped eating with them. Praise God. Why? Because there was a law in place that forbade Gentiles and Jews from eating together. That is, Jews were not required to, they were not permitted rather, to eat with the Gentiles. It was that bad. They saw them as unclean. See how Peter wrestled with God in that vision. He didn't want to go to the house of Cornelius. And Jesus had to say to him, see, what I have cleansed, do not call common. They referred to the Gentiles as unclean. Common. It was the law that brought that kind of distinction, that kind of segregation and discrimination. Praise God. See how the Samaritan woman was shocked that Jesus was talking with her. And then she said, we know that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. That was the enmity. The law created it. So Jesus, by his own sacrifice, Jesus, by his own covenant, destroyed that distinction and made us one in him. Praise God. So there's no Jew or Gentile in Christ Jesus. We are the same. We are one. So we are being made partakers of the promises of God in Christ Jesus. So those promises that were made to Israel, Judah, in the Old Testament, as pertaining to salvation, are promises that belong to us in Christ Jesus also today. Praise God. Look at verse 17, Ephesians 2, 17. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one spirit to the Father. For through him, we both, Jews, Gentiles, have access by one spirit to the Father. Verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So that means the things that were promised them in Christ Jesus have become our own inheritance also. We are no longer strangers. Praise God. So when you read of those things in the Old Testament, there are things you can claim as yours because they belong to you now. You've inherited them in Christ Jesus. Glory be to God. So just like we just read Ezekiel 37, and then you see house of Judah, house of Israel, I'll be their God, I'll be in their midst forever. And then you're like, oh, this is talking about Israel exclusively. No, this is covenant of peace, covenant of Christ. It includes us. Glory be to God. Look at Ezekiel 39. We saw this yesterday. Let's see it again as I begin to close. Ezekiel 39 from verse 24 today. Bible says, according to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I have dealt with them and hidden my face from them. That was then. Now look at verse 28. Glory to God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who sent them into captivity among the nations, but also brought them back to their land and left none of them captive any longer. And I will not hide my face from them anymore. For I shall have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Hallelujah. So we see that there's a change in the dealing. Praise God. There was a time these guys were in sin. As a matter of fact, it wasn't that God was trying to hide his face from them. The truth is there was a distance. For being in sin and death, there was a distance. God is life. God is spirit. God is righteousness. For being in sin and death, men were separated from God. So it's after men receive the indwelling spirit and they are grafted into his life and they are brought into fellowship with him that they cannot be separated any longer. That is when the eyes of God will be perpetually upon such men. Hallelujah. So in Christ Jesus, we have received the spirit of God and we have the attention of God forever. God's attention would always be where his spirit is. Glory be to God. So the question is this, would you take God at his word? You know, there's nothing as beautiful and powerful as hearing it from the horse's mouth. This is God himself speaking through the prophets. I will not hide my face. This is God himself speaking. So I don't care what any pastor, bishop, general, overseer, a reverend, anybody at all in the world is saying. This is hearing it from the horse's mouth. God himself is saying these things. I will never hide my face. I won't withdraw myself. I will be in their midst forever. These are the promises of God already gotten in Christ Jesus. So fellowship is not broken. Nothing is broken when the believer falls into sin. And we must bear in mind that the promises of the new covenant are unconditional. That is, you don't have a part to play in it. It is God who has sworn to fulfill it. Praise God. It is God who has chosen to do. You don't have a role to play in it. Yours is just to receive. They are unconditional. I will not hide my face. It is say I will not hide my face if they don't. No. There's no condition. Hallelujah. There's no condition. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Jesus, after giving the instruction to go into the world and preach, he says, lo and behold, I'm with you till the end of the age. There's no condition. John 14, 16, I'll give you another helper and we will abide with you forever. There's no condition. Not he's going to abide with you forever as long as you keep doing this. No, there's no condition. That's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament promises were conditional. The New Testament promises are based on God's faithfulness and integrity alone. God's faithfulness and integrity. Glory to God. So it's all about believing in the integrity of the word of God. You must be able to believe that what God has said he will not do, he will never do. What God has said he will never do in Christ, he will never do. Many of us grew up with people who were not fulfilling their promises. Some of us also did not keep our promises and we have judged God to be the same. But remember, God is not man. Numbers 23 verse 19. Numbers 23 verse 19. Bible says, God is not man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. As he said, and will he not do it? As he spoken, and we need not make it good? God is not man. What he has said he will do, he will do. What he has said he has done, he has done. What he has said he will never do, he will never do. He's a faithful God. This is God. That is why God is different from you and I. Praise God. So we can take his word for what he says. I will never hide my face from you. There is not a need for daily pleading for mercy and forgiveness so that God can look at you again and look on you favorably. God has never for once hidden his face from you ever since you came into Christ. You have his attention perpetually every day of your life. It's an eternal fellowship with the Father. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, every day with Jesus, 7 a.m. Invite your friends, colleagues, classmates, anybody at all, and let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Put on your social media handles, WhatsApp status, and let's invite as many as possible to join us in this feast of the Word. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.